Coming up on TMS, we really pick teams this time.
Scott gets his fill of Zambies.
What drinking soda will do to you in 16 years.
Doll mutilator apologized to Satan.
Jim Carrey doesn't like Kick-Ass 2 now.
Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
How do you get shirts so clean, Mr. Lee?
Ancient Chinese secret.
My husband, some hotshot. Here's his ancient Chinese secret. New improved Calgon. Calgon's two water softeners soften wash water so detergents clean better. In hardest water, Calgon helps detergents get laundry up to 30% cleaner. We need more Calgon. Ancient Chinese secret, huh?
Calgon helps detergents get laundry up to 30% cleaner.
Oh, poo, that sounds hard.
The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream. No matter what fortune cookies say, it is not better in bed.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to The Morning Stream. Listen to my voice. I wish I could keep it like this. Nice and low. I don't have that ability. I'd have to surgically add a permanent cold to my throat. That's how it works.
There's microphone filters you can put on.
Oh, really? I can have this? Okay, well, get on then. Yeah. Let's fake everybody out. It's Wednesday, June 26, 2013. It is The Morning Stream. I'm Scott. That's Brian. And we have a special guest with us this morning, Mr. Randy Jordan on the line. Hello, Randy.
I think that microphone filter would be like the Instagram of audio, right?
It would be. We would feel only tangentially good about our artistic prowess for a minute, and then everyone would go, "Oh, well, he filtered it."
Yeah. It's really something. When someone that you know posts for like the first seven times, and you go, "Wow, the sunsets where she lives are amazing. Mm-hmm. Look at that."
Yeah, it's like the artificial boobs of audio recording. Not interested. So Randy's here with us today because we do this tradition every year just prior to Nerdtacular, which happens in about, oh my gosh, I don't want to think about it.
A week and 2 days.
What is today, Wednesday? So you'll actually be getting in today, Brian Ebbett.
Yep.
Yeah, actually, Nerdtacular is tomorrow, and Scott is not ready.
Oh, you're telling the future is what you're doing.
You secretly replaced the original date of Nerdtacular.
So we're excited because part of the festivities since 2011 has been that we do a live film sack on stage, me, Brian, Brian Dunaway, and of course Randy, and we have a ball with that. That's one of the highlights, I think, of the show the last couple of years. This year is no different, and we've picked teams for another event, which is what Brian does. And I'm talking around circles for some reason. I don't know why.
I watched Dances with Wolves last night, and now we're going to do math.
You know, President, what's her name from Battlestar Galactica was kind of weird in that movie. But anyway.
Why was she so bent?
I don't know.
In that film.
I don't know what the deal was.
Why did that character need to be so strange?
I don't know. She was an odd thing in that, I thought. But but hey, BSG, she's pretty good. Also sneakers. Anyway, so back to the point. Brian Ebbett here constructs something called the Frog Pants All-Stars competition, which is awesome, and we love it, and it's a big kind of battle royale of trivia between different producers in the Frog Pants Network and, you know, friends of the program and so on. And those people this year include names like Brian Dunaway, Willie Dills Gregory, Terpster, Eric Van Skyhawk, Steven Schleicher, Mark Spagnolo, Nicole Spagnolo, Veronica Belmont, Tom Merritt, Eileen Rivera, Justin Robert Young, Brian Brushwood. Big list, right?
And I'm sorry to say, we're gonna pick three teammates each and an alternate. And Scott has probably just named someone who ain't getting picked.
Well, yeah.
Guaranteed,
In theory, there are four people in this list who won't get picked, right?
Yeah, there
Let's
is.
See. Sorry. 4, 8, 12, yeah.
And this does not, I want this to be, and I think Randy would agree with me here, this is not, our choices today do not reflect any lack of love or devotion to any of those who do not get picked.
Right. Welcome to the Great Frog Pants Popularity Contest starring Scott.
I would just like to point out that for me, it's all about love. Mm. And if anyone who doesn't get picked is just not loved by Scott.
Right. That's a good point. But this is all about blood and winning. And so all relationships and stuff aside, we're going to go ahead and do this. So Brian starts us off by flipping a coin. That chooses who starts. I guess one of us will pick heads, one of us will pick tails. Randy, I would defer to you to pick whatever you'd like, and then I'll.
Well, yeah, it should go to the person who was defeated last year.
Oh, well, that'd be Randy. That'd be Randy.
That would be Randy.
I wouldn't even flip the coin. I'll just pick first.
I don't like that rule one bit.
No, not at all. So your choices. You don't get heads or tails. You get. you get dragon on one side. Celtic symbol on the other side. Okay, so you get dragon or Celtic symbol are your choices.
Okay.
When I was in junior high, I of course played the trombone in the band.
And, did I ever tell you about the time that I played trombone?
Yeah, I did. And a band director that everybody loved and has now passed away. Had pictures for every kid up in the band hall.
Okay.
And those pictures she drew to sort of represent each person. Mm. And because she was constantly telling me to back off as a trombone player, she drew a picture with my name on it that was a dragon.
Oh, all right.
And so I absolutely have to take the dragon side of the coin.
All right, Khaleesi, you pick your dragons. I'll take the other side. It's not a problem. What's on the other side? Remind me. Brian?
Celtic symbol.
All right, I'm Lord of the Dance for today's competition.
You are Lord of the Dance.
All right, yes.
You know, like one of those Celtic dealios.
Flip that
coin.
All right,
coin. Stepping back because I've got lights over here. Flipping the coin.
I think we've just found our team names, by the way.
I think we did too.
And it is a dragon. So Randy does.
Randy gets the first pick. Team, this is interesting.
Team Dragon. Team Dragon versus the Lords of the Dance.
All right.
It's gonna be epic.
All right.
All right, Randy, your first pick. Who do you love the most in that list?
That's just wrong, Brian. I don't think you should tell everyone else on the list that they are not loved as much as Team Dragon's first pick, Jury.
You're picking Jury, are you?
Justin Robert Young.
Right out of the gate.
Wow, that is a bold move because. I know where your head's at here. I know what's going on. And that's a great pick. And I'm a little sad because I was pining for Jury as well. I think
Keep in mind, he is untested in this form.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah. He has never been to Thunderdome.
He runs Bartertown, though, so come on.
And speaking of this format, we probably should have discussed what the format is before just picking people.
Well, you mean the format of the picking or the format of the game?
It's gonna be the same Frog Pants All Star as you've come to know and love. I'm not gonna tell you, I'm not gonna give any hints as to what may be involved.
Yeah. So no one gets to have their wiener out, which means Jury's automatically a liability.
Yeah, I realize that. I'm just saying that if the game this year involved, calculus, you might want to look at your list a little bit.
Will there be weird things mentioned in the game? Probably.
Yeah.
Will there be a question about Walking Dead? Possibly.
Yeah. See, my guess is, and that'll be good for him. But my guess is that. It's like always, nerdy trivia, stuff that geeks will get. And that's kind of what all this group is good at. So I'm not too worried.
Then when we're challenged to multiply four-digit numbers, Scott, you're going to be on your heels.
Oh, my gosh, dude. I'm the wrong captain if this is the case. all right. Well, then I'm picking for my first pick then. Yeah. Mark the Terpster Turpin. I believe he has been my... my go-to the last couple of years, well, at least last year. And I think he's what caused the first year win not to happen in my team. So I'm picking Mark the Terpster Turpin. No offense to anyone else who doesn't fall in the category. But, yeah, I'm taking Terpster. All right.
Wow.
This is a pretty good matchup already.
So, once again, for the second consecutive year, your team's going to sound funny.
Yep. Yep. That's the plan.
The guy who just got Justin Robert Young.
Yeah, that's true. Yours is going to sound like It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia over there.
Well, then, I say Team Dragon, with its second pick in the 2013 Frog Pants All-Stars draft, will include the sultry sounds of Tom Merritt.
Shit. It's a good pick. It's a strong move.
Oh, Scott.
It's a strong move.
Oh, Scott. Every year we do this, and every year I forget that Scott wants his team to include everyone. Yeah, and right. no matter who I pick, he just has such depression.
I do. I want everyone on my team.
It's like if you had just opened it up, if you didn't give me a list, just to see how Scott reacted, I would have sat here and picked Kim Johnson, Taylor Johnson, Nick Johnson, just because I'd like to see how Scott would react.
Yeah,
you know?
Indeed. All right, so I'm going to follow that up with I'm going to take Brian Brushwood and put Jury right up against him.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, I'll take Schwood. Schwoody.
Very interesting.
All right, Mr. Third Pick, what do you got? Mr. Third Pick.
The final of Team Dragon's three sultry voices this year is going to be my best partner in my life, Brian Dunaway.
Oh, man. Another good pick. See, I do it every time. There's a little sting when you pick these people. I don't know why.
It is. It's interesting.
All right.
Because from my perspective, there's no sting at all. Yeah. You just like, you name someone, I'm like, oh, all right.
Yeah. That's a good point.
But I cannot help myself.
Yeah.
When it comes to Team Deluxe Away, I can't, I have to have the man himself.
Contractually bound, I understand.
Yes.
All right, for my third pick, let's go Veronica Belmont. Belmonte. Let's add a little female blood into the mix here.
This. Wow. Yes. So we got Tom on opposite teams from Veronica, Schwood on opposite teams from Justin Robert Young.
Yeah, weird, right? And you already had me and Randy squaring off.
One of these years, Scott and I, Scott, me, and Brian Dunaway need to all be on the same team.
That would be pretty fun, actually.
And we'll just take on like eight other people.
Yeah. We still have you on the mic.
So now, which point in the competition, Scott, are you predicting that Veronica is going to complain that either the questions are too hard or that she can't hear?
She can't hear
or
you.
Or that her buzzer doesn't work?
I'm going to predict the third question in we hit. It depends on how quickly Justin nails a question.
Right.
And it'll piss her off, and then she'll be... I need that fire, man. I need that go-for-the-throat kind of thing she brings to the table. So
she does, yes.
Right this moment, Veronica is in Hawaii asleep.
Yeah.
And she just felt this little tingling on the back of her neck.
Right.
And what's going to happen is she's going to...
A thousand voices all screamed out at once.
Yeah.
All right. So there's my third. Do you have a third? Okay. No, he already picked a third.
Yeah.
Okay, because he picked first. All right. So alternates. All right, yes. Randy, go for your alternate there.
My alternate this year, and this is a really tough pick because I like Scott. I wished I could just have everyone sitting, laying in wait, as it were, for the off chance that Tom Merritt ends up in Puerto Rico instead of Utah.
Mm.
I think that if you look at my team, we have to take solace in our backup, Eric Van Skyhawk.
Oh wow! All right, interesting wild card there. All right,
he to my knowledge has never played in this either, right?
No, this
wasn't here last year.
Yeah. And no, this is interesting. Exactly. This is like you're getting some draft picks early in the NFL draft, and
I put some thought into this. I actually have my list listed. my priority list here. I'll have you know.
All right. Well, I like it. By
the way, I wish I could show you my priority list right here. I also had Dills. Terpster at number two. I had Dills at number nine.
What the heck? Dills at nine? All right.
Yeah, that's not fair. That's just mean.
That is mean. What are you doing there?
Somebody's got to be nine, though. I mean, you know, everybody's. Again, I'd pick anybody on this list, and I know you guys would as well. So somebody, you know, there has to be. There's a very thin line between the first person and the last person on the list,
right?
Because they're all up there at the top.
I would take
the cream of the crop.
Any of these people, if Brian's just assigned these guys, I'd be happy with any of them. So
I just want to apologize.
We said this all enough.
Willie Dills.
Well, don't apologize because he's my alternate. So Dills, welcome to the crew.
There you go.
Over on Lord of the Team, Lord of the Dance.
Now let me tell you, if I could take This is me saying the same thing again. But if I had a team of nothing but Schleichers, I feel like I would win. If I had a team of nothing but Nicole Spaggs, I think I could
win. I was going to say, and by you know referencing Schleicher's performance last year, I'm amazed that neither of you snatched him up.
Yeah, Schleicher
was a powerhouse.
Yeah, he was shockingly prescient. I don't know why I didn't. I don't know. This is hard. It's four people.
And
it's hard.
all the questions this year have to do with comic books, with spoilers.
All of them.
Every single one.
Great.
See, this is exactly why I said we need to talk about the game.
I'm kidding.
Before we draft, it's all golden age too. It's all going to be like
it's all right exactly.
Now
we're all going to be sitting around scratching our heads,
the city
talking
of
about
Kandor. Right.
Yeah. Best part about this, folks, is if you can't be there, and I'm so excited to see everyone who is coming, but if you can't be there, we'll be streaming all of this live. You can watch the competition and all other panels on the main stage live and for free via the Nerdtacular.com website coming up in about a week and a couple of days from now. So be there or be square. Mm-hmm. Randy, always a pleasure. I can't wait to do this again. It's always a blast.
It was a blast last year, right up until the point where we got drummed solidly in this little game. This year, it's going to be Revenge of the Dragon, my friend.
I'm excited for Revenge. For me, it'll be
Revenge of the Ninja.
Yeah, how great! Hey, I can catch arrows with my teeth, so I got that going for me. Nice. Randy, have a good time. We can't wait to see you and Sam. Safe trip. Well, obviously, we'll talk before then, but can't wait to see you there, man.
Arrivederci.
Bye now. Arrivederci. Awesome. Yeah, right. I feel pretty good about both those teams. That's a solid lineup.
Well, and it's good that you guys are both, you know, handicapped and advantaged by people who, A, have never played Battle of the Frog Pants All-Stars before, but B, haven't been jaded by playing Battle of the Frog Pants All-Stars before.
Absolutely.
So Schwood and Jury ought to be a great,
You
know, we'll have to line them up so that, you know, it's almost like a wedding procession where you pair up Tom with Veronica.
Exactly.
In spots two and two, and Justin and Schwood in spots three and three.
Yep, you got... who's Terpster match up with, would you say? Probably.
Well, Terpster and Dunaway
Dunaway, that'll work, sure. Yeah.
Yep.
Why not? One's got Terpster. A weird accent, the other one's got a weird accent. So, you're all set.
One talks funny, and the other one is Terpster.
Yep, I picked Terpster up 1 week from yesterday. 1 week from today, Terpster will be upstairs eating breakfast in my house.
Oh, geez, so you'll actually have some time to strategize.
A little bit. But not like, much. Right, we're not going to cheat.
Let's quickly read the Game of Thrones, because there's probably going to be a question on that.
Yeah. I'm not to book four yet, so hopefully you're not that deep into that trivia, but that's where Veronica and Tom would shine, because they've read all them books. So anyway, I'm super stoked, and I can't wait to see what you put together. And
name
and
all the characters mentioned in the fifth book of Game of Thrones.
Here's the only problem with this competition. Both years in a row, we scheduled it at a part of the day where I am the least nourished. Because you know how I never eat, right? Because I'm too nervous during the whole thing.
Well, you're going to be forced to this year because it's all lunch with a Frog Pants producer.
Yeah. So I'll have to force
something
down. And
I paid for that. I paid to have lunch with you.
Is that it?
Okay. Yeah, so I forked over some money and I'm making sure.
Scott, you eat that taco now! Because what I did last time, I was quite literally ready to faint both years in a row. And I just felt terrible back behind that stage. So this year, that's not happening. I'm going to be on my energetic best. We are going to own this. I'm going to take no prisoners. So there you have it.
Is somebody bringing us Five Guys or In-N-Out or Chipotle or something like that?
I don't know. It's too far down the valley. Probably have to
We'll have food there, won't we? Yeah. There will be a restaurant or five there.
Yeah, there's like eight restaurants. Oh, which is a good thing to remind people. And Corinne wanted me to make sure to remind people this. There are eight restaurants all up there in the area of the what do you call it, the resort, right? They're all within walking distance, some longer walks than others. I just wanted to make it clear that it's not like a food court where they're all 5 feet from each other. So you'll have lots of choice, but you know there may be some moving around and stuff when you're trying to figure out where to eat.
Price levels. I think there's a sushi bar. There's a Mexican food restaurant that we ate at
Yeah, it was great.
It was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. There's plenty of room. They're gonna beef up staff. They're gonna put some sandwich things around. They're gonna have lots of ways to make sure we're all served well. And they have. That was one of the things I was gonna mention. Oh, the morning of the 4th. So some people going in on the 3rd, like you. The morning of the 4th, they're doing an annual, I guess they always do this, 4th of July blueberry pancake breakfast thing.
Get out.
Yeah, it's not, it's I wish it was free. It's not, but it's supposed to be really good, and they do it as this 4th of July thing, and so they wanted to make sure we knew that, because they obviously show in the reservations a lot of people getting there on the 3rd. So if you guys want to take part in that, details at snowbird.com, or you can call them and find out what's up.
I'm in, man.
Yeah,
blueberry
sounds
pancakes?
Good. Sound like right up your alley to me.
It'll go right down my gullet.
So speaking of going down your gullet, real quick, one mention. Yesterday.
Really?
I took my
dog. Is that the segue? Is it?
That's the best I got,
all
right?
Going with that?
It's the best I got. I still have this voice, though.
Yeah.
I took my daughter, my zombie-loving daughter. She loves the zombies. She's really
into wait. Because you've got one daughter who's deathly afraid of zombies, the other one who loves them?
Yes. Taylor loves the whole, anything to do with zombie lore. She's read all the comic books for Walking Dead. She loves the Walking Dead TV show. She's
it's
into
like a wacky sitcom.
It really is.
She loves zombies. She's afraid of their sisters, too.
Anyway, that's pretty good. That would work.
Yeah.
It was,
they're stuck in an apocalypse together.
And it's funny because Carter, who hates zombies, would have hated World War Z.
Yes.
Would have hated it because they really kind of get the whole freakish running, slam into walls, rage virus zombie down pretty well. Anyway, saw it, took my daughter as just a little date, decided to go see it, and did a little afternoon matinee kind of thing. And it was, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
I guess I you said so, and I usually, you and I are on the same page with films occasionally. Sometimes we're not, but like I love Westerns, you don't. So we have our diversions, but... But in this case, you were. I think you're right, and I'm pleasantly surprised how much better that was than I think it may have could have been. I thought that was really good.
It's a solid film. I would say there's not a lot of surprises in it.
No,
you know, there's obviously a, you know, a spoilery thing regarding the twist on how they overcome.
Right.
But other than that, I mean, it's, you know,
it's straight up zombies.
It's straight up zombies. Zombies here, zombies there.
Running
go here.
I'm surprised that this PG-13 movie came across to me as just as intense as it would have possibly been. It may have been more bloody as an R-rated film, or maybe people would have cussed more. But beyond that, I felt like it delivered pretty much what you want out of a freaky, scary movie. I liked it.
Well, the zombie nude scene was a little bit, you know, the nude love scene, I think, was a little over the top.
Yeah.
You'll find that on the
slow
motion director's cut. Yeah.
Anyway.
Take my breath away. Good choice for the song.
Pretty good, right?
For the zombie love scene, yes.
Pretty good.
That's a great choice.
Pretty good. Anyway, I thought Brad Pitt was great. I've always liked Brad Pitt, so it's not a hard sell for me.
Yeah. Oh, there's zombies here, man.
Yeah. Wow. So it was good. I liked it. See it. It's fun. Fun movie. It's not... Again, like you said, this is not like you're going to go, oh my goodness, the pinnacle of cinema hath been achieved before my eyes. It's not like that.
No.
It's just, there's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I had a ball with it. And I didn't see that twist coming for once in my life.
Right.
So I usually see that stuff a mile away, and I didn't know what they were doing with that kid and that old man. So anyway, there will likely be a spoiler cast about this with the jury and others who want to participate, but I don't know when and how, and it's so close to Nerdtacular, who knows if this happens. But
Right. Well, if it happens, let me know. I'll join you.
Yeah, I'd love to have you on that. So that's the plan. Moving on. Daryl time.
Daryl time.
I like our Daryl time. A little Daryl time here.
Stop. Daryl time.
Hold on. Can't find his thing. Why? There it is. Okay. I found it. Let's see if it rings. We'll make sure he's there. I got $8.26 on his account.
Mm.
So
should
be plenty. It's not ringing though. Why? What's going on here, Daryl's phone?
Mm.
Oh man. Well, either way, let's play this. Oh, there it is. Okay, just had to connect the dots there. It's Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by.
Coming to Nerdtacular, make sure to stop by Fantasy Coin's booth or our website for the unveiling of a new Frog Pants approved item. That's Frog Pants
approved.
Yes. Play in our tournament and win said item or other Frog Pants goodies. Special N13 editions are available in your swag bag. You heard me use one of these earlier as the coin flip.
Yeah, they're really nice.
It is not the surprise item, by the way. This isn't. This is just something that they had. They had a great like treasure chest last year. You could just reach in and grab a handful of coins.
Yeah, which is great. So look for
love
that.
Those guys.
Look for that booth. He'll be there. Always good to have them.
Oh, poo. That sounds hard.
Hey, Daryl, that sounds like you.
You need a softener.
That was the last thing I expected to hear this morning. I thought Scott Fletcher was going to be wise, and I thought, what's that weird voice?
Yeah. Isn't that strange? Iceworm dug that up from somewhere and thought it'd be fun to share on the show, and it always is. Good ear there, Iceworm, Mike. Daryl, good to have you back. It's time for Stump a Trek Nerd, and we do Trek trivia here on the show for those who are just tuning in for the first time. Seems weird, but whatever. I guess it's possible. If this is your first time, we ask a hard trivia question of Daryl, something to do with Star Trek, usually original series, TNG, and sometimes the movies. And here's your question. In the Next Generation episode, Galaxy's Child, Geordi meets Dr. Leah Brahms. He wrote it twice.
A woman so nice, they named her twice.
Exactly. the engineer responsible for the design of the Enterprise engines. He explains an engine problem. The ship had a year to Guinan. That doesn't make sense. He must have meant last year or had.
Had one year to Guinan.
Probably 1 year. Okay. And how he came to use the holodeck and hologram of Dr. Brahms to solve this problem. This is the one where he's kind of getting it on with the hologram, right? I think so.
Well, yeah, this is the one where I think he meets the real one.
Oh, and she's
after
cranky.
Getting it on with the holodeck, yeah.
Right? So she, so the holodeck
she
one is
act
all.
As, she's not as submissive.
Yeah, the one on the holodeck. Oh, holodeck. Geordi, that's a great idea, and loves him, right? But the real one's like right. All business.
Whew, is it hot in this holodeck? Let me take my top off.
Very different Star Trek.
Yeah.
That's I think that was in Star Trek The Next Penetration. I saw that. Actually, I didn't see
and
that.
And we're out.
let's see. So Dr. Brahms to solve this problem. Which episode is Geordi referring to in this story that he tells to Guinan? So he's talking about another episode of the show. This seems hard, but whatever. Here you go. Is it A, the Icarus Factor, B, Legacy, C, the Price, or D, Booby Trap? Booby.
Oh, yeah. Booby Trap.
Booby Trap. You done heard the booby trap. I like saying booby trap in a dumb accent. I don't know why. That bear done stepped in the booby trap, mama. Shut up and go get that dog. All right. Sorry. I'm probably giving Brian Dunaway nightmares if he's listening right now, because this is how he grew up. all right. So while you think on the booby trap, do we have, man, we got stuff.
Yeah, we
here.
Got one last piece of food. All in right. This batch.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Bunch of foodie.
We ran those fast. It's time for us to test some food, and I got my box right here. Let's open this up. Ritter Sport, last one. Mm-hmm. There's still a Zots in here, which I feel like giving to my worst enemy, but whatever.
You didn't like the Zots? No. You didn't like the
First time with the Zots, not a good experience. noise. It sounds like another episode of Star Trek. Ah, well, remember that time we met the Zots, Captain? Let's see. Noix de coco with tropical coconut flakes and coconut milk filling. It's new, according to the little stamp on there. Mm-hmm. Daryl, I wish you had this in front of you, but since you don't, we'll just eat in front
this
of you.
This is another one that got melted in.
Oh, yeah, these all got melted. Oh, shite. Hold on.
Okay.
Okay, got it. It's right. Starting to fall apart here a little bit. Okay. Me, not the chocolate. All right. So I'm going to take a bite of this because I don't know how else to... You can't break it apart anymore.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my least favorite thing in the world, coconut. Now, I know...
Really?
No,
oh,
I know,
like you weren't expecting
I love
it.
Coconut.
No, I like... Let me back that up. I like coconut flavor. I don't like the texture of actual coconut flakes, like the...
Like Mounds and Almond Joy?
Yeah, I hate that.
Oh,
can't do it. And that's what this is, basically. Mm-hmm. Blech, blech. Yeah, it's a coconut thing. It's nothing to do. The chocolate's fine, obviously, and all that, but
mm-hmm.
I cannot eat coconut. The texture just kills me. I don't know what it is. Something about that. They're like little coarse, like puppy hairs. Or something like that.
It kind of is.
Oh, man. Oh, Twitter, I got to just shut you off because people are railing on me this morning. I got to shut that off. All right. Sorry. Daryl, who I also think should have the right to choose for himself anything he'd like in life.
I would like coconut.
Good. Oh, perfect. Well, I'll send this to you. And while I do that, tell me about a birthday. Who's, who should we celebrate today?
We have, Stan, wow, I really wrote this out weird, but I'll read it anyway. Stan Barrett is 70 today. My phone's making weird noises.
All right.
He played a Sarpedon native on the TOS episode All Our Yesterdays.
Ah, the Sarpedons. I don't remember that. What'd they do?
It's, well, Mr. Atos operates a library and has these little CD things he puts in a holder and images appear on them, and then you jump through this door and you go back in time to the planet's past.
Wow.
And that's Sarpedon.
All right. I'm into that. Well, congratulations to him. Wait, is he dead, though?
No, he's still around.
Oh, great. 72. That's good,
right? 71. 71. No, 70.
70, geez. Let's go ahead. Let's artificially age him 2 years.
Keep going back.
70 years old. Congratulations. Ripe old age. That's a good age to be, I think. If you can make it to 70, I feel like that's pretty good. You know what I mean? Like, anything before that feels like you died too young. So you get to 70, you're good. Like, anything past that, it feels like it's okay that you pass on, you know? I mean, it's not your family grieves and all that, but it's not, it doesn't feel like it would if you were 48 or 53 or something like that. So, congrats.
Anything after that's bonus time.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. Like the Sarpedons themselves. I don't know what that means. All right. Daryl, let's get back to your question here. The the episode that Geordi refers to when he's talking to Guinan, you know, eyebrowless, what's her name from The View? Can't think of her name all of a sudden. Whoopi Goldberg.
Whoopi Goldberg.
why does she have no eyebrows? Is that on purpose? I assume so. She cuts those off, right?
Singed in a bartending accident.
Ah, got it. Or is it something... somebody
she was
on
mixing a Pangalactic Gargle Blaster and it exploded in the face.
All right. Let's go with that.
Across the stream.
What episode did Geordi refer to when explaining this thing to her? Was it Icarus Factor, Legacy, The Price, Booby Trap?
Well, I think I know this, and if I don't, then that'll be... then I don't know what it'll be. But I'm going to pick D.
D? You're going with D, Booby Trap? Yeah. Okay.
Oh, good time. Maybe I shouldn't. Then.
Maybe I'm overreacting. I don't know. Maybe. Mm. Who knows? Let's find out. Judges. Am I underreacting, judges?
Congratulations.
Nice one.
You're a winner.
I like to play around with making you think you're wrong once in a while. In that episode, the Enterprise gets trapped in an area of space that recounts this story to Guinan. Upon arriving on the Enterprise, Dr. Brahms is not too pleased with the modifications Geordi has made to the engines, and even less pleased to learn that he created a hologram of her. Here is a clip of that going on.
Now I understand.
No, you don't. It's not the way this may look.
I called up a replay of the program file. I was all ready to compliment you again, Commander, for constructing a program which contained the prototype engine, so that you would always have a baseline reference for your modifications. And now I find that it's all about a fantasy plaything.
It's not like that. I swear.
I'm outraged by this. I have been invaded, violated. How dare you use me like this? How far did it go, anyway? Was it good for you?
No, jeez. Oh, so here's this is again like I was talking about yesterday. That is Star Trek's way, cheesy as it may be or whatever, their way of bringing up bigger points, bigger issues. And I feel like that particular question, that ethical question of, all right, well, we got the engine working, so I can justify what I'm doing by making a hologram of her because I need her mind and the way she works, and I need that to get this done. So I'm going to justify that, but I'm also going to essentially duplicate her and then make her more into a fantasy version of her. Like, that is all kinds of crazy good question about technology and about, like, I'm not saying we're there yet with things like Facebook, Twitter, and whatever, but it's an interesting idea to broach. Star Trek is at its best when it's asking those kinds of questions. So,
totally. Oh, yeah, the ethics of that. Yeah. I mean, if you had a holodeck, would you make your own Kate Upton, for example?
Right. Well, no.
you wouldn't.
I'd fix some things, but yeah. I'd fix that barrel, that man's barreled chest she has for a stomach. Geez. Have you seen that thing?
There's nothing wrong with that.
I'm just teasing. Anyway, point is, you know... It's just an interesting ethical question, and I love that they always did that, and I hope whatever they do in the future, they continue to. The movies don't so much. Absolutely. They never have. The movies have always just sort of gone, explosion, but the show has always been thoughtful that way.
Yeah, we need that again.
I agree. So Daryl is the Trek nerd. He is also winning this week. So far, he's 100%. And you can find him on Twitter at the Trek Nerd. You can also find him on Facebook. Not Facebook. You can find him on the web. You might maybe find him on Facebook. I don't know. Doing a fine show called This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com. Also available on iTunes and wherever podcasts are downloaded freely. Daryl, give us a quote. We can try to figure out who said it.
Okay.
All right.
Have you ever been engaged, Mr. Spock?
You said that in Spock's voice, so it's screwing me up.
He wasn't looking in the mirror.
I'm going to say Scotty on that one.
I'm going to say Uhura. Uhura.
Oh, that's a good guess, yeah.
Yeah, with her big knobbly silver goofy thing in her ear right when she said it.
But you didn't guess good enough. It was Nurse Chapel.
Damn it. Ah. Majel Barrett.
I'm sorry, the computers are offline.
Oh, geez, it's the news.
And it's brought to you by this. Xander is raising money for the National MS Society to help work towards the treatment and eradication of multiple sclerosis. This fall, he'll be riding his bike 200 miles during the Bike MS event in Columbia, Missouri, in order to raise awareness of this terrible disease, and he would greatly appreciate any donations at tinyurl.com/helpbikems to help the cause.
All right.
My uncle's actually doing that this weekend. My uncle and his fiance, they're getting married in about a month.
Oh, wow.
And they're doing the MS-150, so 150 miles from Denver to Fort Collins, which is no small feat. She actually has MS, and she's biking it.
Wow.
So
that's
kudos
awesome,
to her.
Dude.
They're awesome.
I have friends with MS. That thing's the worst.
It is. It really is.
So that any of those neurological muscular things, any of those conditions, they're some of the worst things ever.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt.
Yeah. All right, check this out. Speaking of the worst thing for you to do to yourself, a woman drank only soda for 16 years and is now suffering heart problems among other health issues.
Mm.
She's only 31.
Oh, geez.
So check this out. A 31-year-old woman, woman's heart problems and fainting might have had something to do with the fact that she drank only soda for about half of her life, according to a report on her case. No water, no other beverages, soda. The woman who lives in Monaco, a small country near southern France. Oh, you all thought it was going to be somebody in freaking Florida?
Florida?
You just figured it was some Idaho lady? Did you? Is that what you all just assumed?
I would never expect Monaco to be the Florida of Europe.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting. Anyway, USA. I'm just about waving a flag here.
She needed something. Good job, Thorin. She needed something to wash down those 543 Cheddar Bay biscuits.
That's a good point. Damn, good point. A small country near the south of France was brought to a hospital after she fainted. A blood test showed she had severely low potassium levels, and a test of her heart's electrical activity revealed she had a condition called long QT syndrome, which can cause erratic heartbeats. The woman did not have a family history of heart or hormone problems, but she told her doctors that since the age of 15, she had never drank any water, only soda, specifically colas. Probably Diet Coke is my guess. Was the only liquid she consumed. She drank about 2 liters or quarts of cola per day. After abstaining from soda for just 1 week, the woman's potassium levels and heart electricity levels returned to normal, dude.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so I pulled this article. Why? Because I kept hearing Brian's voice in my head saying, moderation in all things.
Yes, exactly. It's not the fact that all she drank was, obviously the fact that she drank only soda is part of it. The big point to take away from this is that she drank 2 liters of cola daily. You know, that's like the headline shouldn't be only soda, drinks 2 liters a day of soda for 16 years.
Right. How could you not just feel like crap all the time? I don't know how I feel like crap if I have too much of one at a restaurant or something.
Yeah.
Like too much, like a Coke and a half, or they'll do me a refill. And about halfway through the second one, I'm like, I'm making a mistake here.
Why did I ask for the refill? Yeah. Sometimes you just got to say, you know what? No, don't give me a refill because I will drink it if you refill it.
Right. And at some point, you have to just no water. Is there something wrong with the Monaco water? The Monocan water? What would you say? Monocoan?
Monocoan?
Monocoan water. I like that. Monocoan.
Monocoan.
I am Monocoan. Well, anyway,
that's the big gambling, like all the baccarat tables with the chips, the rectangular poker chips and
That is
Princess Grace and all that.
Yeah. Kind of a James Bond kind of place you'd go.
It's a very James Bondy kind of place. It's like it's small. It's like condensed wealth into one little small area. So
plus, don't they do like racing there? There's a lot of like Monaco GP and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I think so. Well, start drinking water, lady. The hell, man.
Yes, exactly. And water that's not carbonated. I know it's the first ingredient on the bottle.
Yeah, it's not enough. That's not. That is terrible. If that was ever her justification,
right?
She's wrong.
Well, it says water is the first ingredient on the bottle.
I asked for more soda, and it wouldn't give me more soda. I just want to take a moment and play this. Hold on here. Check this out right here.
I is what I is, and I'm not changing.
Popeye was on the Today Show today.
I is what I is, and that's all what I is.
You know what? I'm starting to feel a little bad for Paula Deen. I'm certainly not condoning anyone being all racist or whatever, but look, if you went back, go back to me in junior high and catch some of the stupid things I said in the hallway.
Yeah.
I'd apologize too. You know, like I'm not saying that she deserves a pass for things she said lately or done as an adult, or supposedly she threw parties that were all like ancient Southern themed, and she'd hire a bunch of black people to dress in the parts of slave help in the house and weird stuff like that. I can't speak too much of this because I haven't followed the story that closely, but you know, at some point we have to, you know, we have to let the poor woman live at some point.
Yeah, for sure. I think the Food Network is doing the right thing by letting her go.
Sure.
Just because of it is, again, you know, I said this before the show, but we won't eliminate racism until we have a zero tolerance policy on it. You know,
right.
If somebody makes a racist remark, you've got to call them out on it and not just let it go. And if people who idolize Paula Deen, people who watch her show, say, well, she said it, you know, mm-hmm. and if she gets away with saying it, or if she continues to be lauded and supported for her work on Food Network or whatever,
right?
After this, then. Basically, we're allowing that. We're basically saying it's okay. You can still have a million-dollar TV show and a deep fryer in your kitchen island, right. Which I want.
Yeah, it sounds awesome, doesn't it?
It does.
Oh,
totally.
Man.
What do we have? We're having deep-fried pizza tonight. What do we have?
I don't want to maintain it, though. Doesn't that freak you out, having to clean it all the time? And
I know. Ugh, yeah.
Sounds bad, but it sounds awesome at the same time.
Yeah, she has
people for that. It's all very distressing.
It's very distressing.
And I feel bad for her that way. I mean, if I walked up to her and said, Paula Deen, do you promise to stop yelling racial things? She would probably say,
no.
All right, fine.
I want somebody to take audio of her saying, somebody hit me in the head with a rock, and change that rock to tater. Take her out and make love to my tater.
Hey, Ice Worm, got a little job for you.
There you go.
Go take care of that. This is. I yelled back at her. I said, "Well, you're a pasty white lady with weird hair." And she said,
"Your butt is going to be mine."
And I said, "All right."
What the?
It's the same interview.
The Matt Lauer interview.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know. The whole thing's just such a mess.
That escalated quickly.
Such a mess. And she's just, you know what, it's the problem with living in public life and this sort of thing gets you fired from a lot of jobs, right? But you're not hearing about it on TV constantly.
Yeah.
In a way, I feel like she needs to, she's made her apologies. I think she just needs to kind of take some time away and not feed the flame of just, because most people are just being cynical and kind of mean about this, whether or not they've ever said the N-word in high school or something dumb like that. They don't care. They're just, you know.
Well, that is the question. How long ago was it that she said those comments? Because I know she was saying it had to do with when she was attacked.
She was married, yeah. She was an adult, but it was, you know, probably many years ago. I don't know. Yeah. So that's part of the story I don't know very well. And that's just what the internet does.
I think until 21, you know, you say and do stupid things without realizing the consequences. But after, you know, after you're an adult, you should know that term is only connected with hate. And
just don't say it. Yeah. Just don't say it and don't mean it and don't think it and try to change who you are. And if you're feeling those feelings because you were raised in a weird family or a strange upbringing or something, try to change it. See what you can do to block that stuff from your head. I know Kim has all kinds of relatives with racial tendencies. A whole bunch of them. I mean, you should hear these people down there in Mississippi.
Sure.
And she's completely not. She's so opposite from that. It's almost painful. And when she's around that, she's like, I don't even know where I came from. What is this that you guys are even talking about? So it's this generational thing. And there's just, you know, it's a weird, complicated social thing that it's so easy to get emotional about. It'd be great if we could just for sometimes just calm down and look at it academically and try to figure out why people do what they do. But
whatever. So Zelazny in the Tedpool says the apology interview in which she brought out her black friend and compared him to a blackboard is why people aren't letting her be.
There's weird.
I have not heard this. Okay, I'll need to do a little research on that. Need to do a little research. Ugh,
that's weird, dude.
That is weird.
It's very distressing.
I agree.
Yes, it is.
Well, she is who she is.
I is what I is.
Or what I is, sorry. She is what she... No, that works when I say it. She is what she is.
Yeah, right.
You but just can't you say, I. Possessive screws it up.
That's... Why would you say... why wouldn't you just say I am what I am? Yeah. I mean...
Why couldn't racism be like it was in the old days, like this moment?
Oh, Pancho.
Oh, she's gone.
The good old days, dude. The good old days. Where you could laugh with your Mexican stereotype, right?
Right. Exactly.
Oh, Pancho.
Oh, Pancho.
All right. Let's keep moving here. Okay. Oh, I didn't even get to the Satan guy. Check this out. Edward Victor Williams. Three names. Always bad when you're being called out in the news. A doll mutilator apologized to Satan. Mm. A convicted felon in Florida. Here you go, Florida. We're back.
There we go.
And we're back.
My faith in humanity is restored.
And we're back, everybody. Found by investigators with a pipe, or sorry, with a bomb recipe, satanic writings, and weird shrines. I like that description. It's like, they're weird, so call them weird. Pleaded guilty Monday to a federal charge of possessing an illegal gun. Edward Victor Williams entered a plea after a February incident where he threatened a game warden's life and was found with a high-powered deer rifle. When police searched his Panama City home, they found more than just the rifle and marijuana plants, according to the News Herald. Williams had built several shrines to Satan with offerings of mutilated and painted baby dolls. The plastic playthings had the appearance as if they were, as if they were raped, burned, and impaled. Williams had been held until the hearing in April because of the creepy collectibles. Really? Huffington Post. He was arrested later in April. Police found him high on methamphetamine. That's like buying a box of nerds at the corner store in Florida, isn't it?
Right.
Sorry, Florida. We love you. When officers searched his home again, they found a letter addressed to the devil and bore an apology for all the good deeds he had ever done in his life. He promised to do more evil. So there you go.
Jeez.
Yeah. Good times.
Wow.
Way to go.
Again, Huffington Post pulls out the weirdest thing. Like, okay, so doll mutilator. Let's talk about, you know, high-powered rifle pointer at bomb maker.
Yeah. Like, what was the story?
He mutilates dolls.
Yeah, they were like to really...
He's a doll mutilator.
They focus in on the weird... Well, I don't know. Maybe this is what people want to read. I don't know. Guess. It's what made me want to talk about it on the show.
Well, that's true. That was the headline that pulled you in. Okay. All right. Huffington Post, you're doing your job.
If all this was dude threatening another dude with a gun, I'd been like, all right, we've seen this one before. Oh, he's got mutilated dolls and freaking marijuana plants and apology letters to Satan. Where's he going to mail that? Where's the address? How do you do that? What's the postage to hell? I don't even know. All right. Tweaked Audio sponsoring that piece of garbage. Tweaked Audio is how you're going to want to hear things we talk about on this show. It's how you want to hear your music. It's the kind of earbud you'd be proud to have in your ears. Just don't do it when you're on your bike or something because, man, they have noise canceling like nobody's business. And that's what you want in good quality earbuds. Also, you'd like some durability? Well, good. They got you covered and a lifetime warranty to cover it all. Once again, our friends at Tweaked Audio want to offer you a discount through this show of 33% off your next purchase by going to their site, tweakedaudio.com, and use the code STREAM. That's STREAM at checkout. Go check them out today. They are the bomb.
If communists have attempted to inject their propaganda into the motion picture, they have failed miserably.
It's Celebrity Poop, and it's brought to you by
The Brighton Youth Film League is offering a unique film education experience to students in the Brighton, Colorado area. We're looking for help acquiring the needed technology to make this dream a reality. Support our Kickstarter by searching Brighton Youth Film League on Kickstarter.com. That's Brighton Youth Film League on Kickstarter.com. Our students need your help.
Nice. Well, thanks.
They're just up the road.
Thanks for a little reminder here, by the way, about music. I screwed up.
Northeast? Yeah, no problem.
Forgot to ask. I knew I was forgetting something today.
Yes.
Yeah, Brighton's near you, yeah? Sort of?
It is, yeah. It's up the road. It's in the outlying Denver metro area, northeast of Denver.
I went to Brighton High School.
Did you? But not Brighton, Colorado.
No. We were the Brighton Bengals. Hear us roar. And blue and orange were our colors. And there's also a Brighton ski resort where I lost a ski and never found it.
Oh, no, really?
So there you go. Yep. Fell off. Wow. I was on the, what do you call it? The chairlift.
The ski lift, yeah.
Yeah, and I dropped, one of my skis fell off because I was wearing them and slid down the hill, and I watched it just fly off into some bushes somewhere, some trees, and I never could get in there to get it. So I had to go rent a new pair of skis. It's fantastic.
Mm.
I was 16. Let's see here. Jim Carrey hasn't been around doing much lately, but he does not like Kick-Ass 2 now that the check is cleared. he was in that. Or is in that, coming up here soon, and plays, I forgot the character he plays, but it does not look like him. It weirded
me out. Major, what is it? It's like major something.
Yeah. Like I'm
major,
watching the
major minor.
I'm watching the trailer, and for the whole time I'm going, where's Jim Carrey? Where's Jim Carrey? I couldn't see him, even though he's building there, and I'm like, where is he? And
they've
really changed him up in that. That's a weird looking Jim Carrey.
Oh, Stars and Stripes. That's right.
Stars
and
Stripes. That's it. He says this, I did Kick-Ass about a month before the Sandy Hook attacks, and now in all good conscience, I cannot support that level of violence. I meant to say my apologies to the others involved in the film. I'm not ashamed of it, but recent events have caused a change in my heart. He thinks that Kick-Ass 2 is a mistake. It's interesting, because I don't think this matters in the, I mean, well, first of all, if you're going to see Kick-Ass 2, you're going to see Kick-Ass 2. Mm-hmm. I don't know that it really... people are giving him such a hard time for this. Well, I don't know that there's anything wrong with somebody feeling this way. I mean,
no.
I did work once. I won't get into the details, but I did some work once that I now kind of regret doing in light of some things that happened.
Really?
It's
oh
a long
God.
Story.
No, I really want to hear that story.
But, yeah. I promise it's nothing to do with any filming or anything weird like that.
Was it the dildo toy shop you worked at?
No, it wasn't, but it could have been. That could have easily been, right?
Right.
If I'd have gotten it. But they...
I made a video, Brian.
I'm not proud of this. And I don't know where it is right now, but let's hope it never comes out. No, it was some artwork, and it's a long story. But in this particular case, great. If you're going to see it, yeah, it's all make-believe, and it's movies, and there's lots of violent movies, and so on and so forth. But, you know, I think it's fine for Jim Carrey to feel this way. I understand he's, you know, the money's been paid. He got paid for it. He's not about to give his money back. But you know, they made for making the film, but I don't know. I guess bringing up the story isn't helping, but I feel like they're piling on just because you know, he has a feeling about it now, and I think that's fine. Let him have it.
I think he should feel bad for Burt Wonderstone.
Yeah, you ought to feel pretty bad about that Batman movie he was in too.
Right.
How come he doesn't regret that business?
Exactly.
He should have said, "I just like to say that I made that movie long before Christopher Nolan made." Batman Begins, and had I seen that first, I would have never made that terrible thing. Anyway, Justin Bieber, Bibster.
By the way, big thanks to Krakus and Jimmy B for reminding me about Burr Wonderstone, because I'd blacked all that out.
Yeah, most of America has. Justin Bieber's new girlfriend. Ah, who cares about this? Anyway, he's seen in Vegas kissing some Las Vegas waitress.
Aw.
Well,
if that isn't advocacy for same-sex marriage, I don't know what it is.
Him just, you know, chilling out in this bar, making out with this wannabe model. Well, I mean, she's pretty.
I can't even see these pictures. I can't even see anything going on.
Well, in the video, there's some kissing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't feel like
I don't either. Yeah. So who cares? Moving on. Who cares?
Yeah.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we've got recommendals. We got Tom Merritt. We got much more, but before that, something with a spoon, and I love this song. So, what do you got? Tell me about it.
Well, you'll love this version. If I know anything about your preferences, this one goes to Grizzly Wizzly in the Tadpool, aka Michael. Hello, George Lucas and John Travolta.
Whoa! Okay.
I think he's calling out our voices that we can do.
Oh, okay.
So I'm George Lucas.
I got to make a request, man.
Listen, I'm digitally going to change your request and re-release it again in 3D. Okay. All right.
June 18th marks my 21st level in this game called... I'm not going to do it. June 18th marks its 21st level in this game called Life. Life has been going extremely well lately, and it would be the biggest cherry on top if I could request the Vitamin String Quartet cover of Soundgarden's Spoon Man. Thanks and love the show, Michael, a.k.a. Grizzly Wisley in the Tadpool. Happy 21st birthday. I know it was last week, but about a little over a week ago, but happy birthday. Hope you had a good week and didn't drink too much. How about Spoon Man?
Yeah, Spoon Man.
Spoon Man. So this one comes from the Vitamin String Quartet tribute to Soundgarden. And if that isn't enough to make you run out and buy it, I think the whole thing's really good.
I'm in.
It came out 2010 and, of course, includes Spoon Man.
Awesome. And have I mentioned before the 2012, I forget the name of the album, but that album they put out in 2012, the actual Soundgarden is awesome. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, really?
Such a good record. Yeah, it's great. It's as if they never stopped. They just like picked the guitars right back up, got the drumsticks and said, all right, just keep moving. Just keep making music. It's 15 years later, but here we go. It was like that good. It's really, really good. Anyway.
That's amazing. Oh, by the way, Spoon, somebody in the Tadpool said, Mark in Florida said, what is Spoon Man's power? Spoon Man, speak the rhythm on your own. Come together. He comes together with his hands. Excelsior.
Yeah, he breaks that rusty cage. All right. Here you go. It's Spoon Man. We'll be back in a minute. Stay tuned.
Thank you. Jedi glasses. Four new glasses from the Star Wars saga. Filled with the adventures of Luke Skywalker. The Ewoks. Han Solo. And Jabba the Hutt. Buy a medium or large Coke. And a different glass is yours each week for a special price. Collect all four. Return of the Jedi glasses. Now appearing only at...
It's very distressing.
The Morning Stream. It's a thing, right?
You would be correct, Scott Fletcher.
That it is.
I forgot the little fart thing was at the end of that.
That's great.
Totally forgot about that.
So unpredicted. Hey, by the way, last night I picked up, I have not played it yet because we went Sunil Gaiman, but I picked up Animal Crossing New Leaf for the 3DS. So,
friend me up, yo!
I'll be building up a city.
I'm
rock and roll.
I don't know what it is about that freaking thing. I check it every morning. I check it every night, at the very least. I check it whenever there's like a competition. That I think it's... Listen, you take all those dumb iOS city builder games and just throw them in the trash. This age-old classic is the way to play those games, and those games are all stupid. This is awesome. Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it. I can't get enough of it. And yesterday, I got a Pikmin hat. So
really?
Yeah, I'm rolling with a Pikmin hat, and I also got...
Back to the old Nintendo game. That's
I got a Wario mustache and nose that I got as a gift because I talked to one of these people in town, and they gave me a sweet gift. I got a balloon hat that floated overhead in a package attached to a balloon, and I had to shoot it with a slingshot.
Wow.
That game is awesome. It's ridiculous.
I got to thank HeroProde and Cowboy for finally pushing me over the edge and saying, okay, I'll pick this thing up. And your cartoon that you did while back.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's good, and you should play it, and I'm glad you got it. So let's friend up, and I'll come to your town and give you some fruit. I got weird fruit you can have. So.
Oh, good. Weird fruit.
Weird fruit, everybody.
Got weird eggs? Just weird fruit.
No, just no eggs. Just fruit. Got coconuts. Got some lemons.
No worries, everybody. No worries.
All right, it's what do we do now? Oh, geez, I think Nicole time is on our doorstep here, so let's give her a call. The last you'll hear from her until the big event.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you know, it does sound ominous, but really it's not. Let's see, we got something for her here, right here. There you go. Hey, it's Nicole Spagnolo from All Things Internet. Here's here to talk about recommendals. Nicole, how you doing?
I'm great. You were getting ready to say Movielicious, weren't you?
I almost did because I missed that show.
I missed that show so much.
There's always been these like weird rumors and rumblings that it might come back someday. Any truth to any of that?
Well, I was trying to make something happen, and it's just Terpster sucks.
Yeah, listen, Terpster does suck, and let me concur. Terpster's problem is he is so his job, he works with the Ozcast guys. He's a business development guy for them, and he's doing amazing work, and he's super swamped. He's got literally time for the instance now and nothing else extra, at least as he tells it. So hypothetical help, incredible podcast of amazing awesomeness with Shram, Nicole's thing, everything. You hear me? It's very distressing.
It's very distressing.
All right.
Is it Paula Deen?
Yeah, it is. So, Nicole, it's good to have you here and talk about movies and stuff. Really excited to see you and Mark at Nerdtacular, of course.
I'm so excited. Yeah. And I really think that Mateo's going to come with us next year.
Oh, I thought you almost said this year and I was going to get all
excited. No.
All right. I love babies. Bring the baby.
I'm just not ready. I need to focus on what we're doing there and not feel like, oh, he's, you know, terrorizing whoever's watching him.
Right. No, I'm excited.
Plus, there might be some inappropriate stuff in the Battle of the Frog Pants All-Stars.
Oh, is there now?
Okay. Maybe.
Oh, great.
Have you guys picked teams yet?
Yeah, we did this morning.
Oh.
Yeah. Where were you, in bed or something? Jeez.
Jeez, way to show up.
Sleeping.
I'll just ask you, did anybody put me on their team?
You were on my short list, but you did not get picked. See, this is the problem, Brian. I told you.
I know.
Did
Mark get picked?
Mark did not get picked.
Good. Okay, that's all I care about.
All right, good.
As long as if Nicole doesn't get picked, that's fine. As long as Mark didn't get picked.
Yeah, you should be fine.
Now, between you and me, Nicole, we pick you way before we pick Mark.
Oh, yeah. In a heartbeat. Tell Mark to go read.
Because you're elite.
Yeah, tell him to read that toilet comic again. He's not in.
Unless it was a contest full of questions about wood. Am I right?
Well, he was fine last year. Whatever. I thought he was great. Anyway, it was a bloody fight this morning.
And, oh, did he play last year?
Yeah, he was on my team.
No, I'm kidding. Winning
team, see? Oh, I see. Brian's carrying on the myth that we don't like Mark. When, in fact, we love him.
Yes.
We love him in ways that are almost unnatural. All right, Nicole, Mark, it's good to have you here. Let's talk about recommendals. What have you been watching? What can people look forward to catching on their streaming services at home?
Well, this week's theme will be costumes. Last week, a great movie, a really wonderful movie, came out at streaming. Mm. The 2012 film, The Avengers, is now streaming on Netflix. Mm. This is I personally feel it's one of the best superhero movies out there.
Oh, yeah. And Amazon Prime, by the way. If you have one and not the other, you can still watch it.
Yep. So The Avengers, currently streaming on Netflix. Watch it if you haven't. I saw it twice in the theater.
Yeah. Well,
Scott, I feel you're not enjoying The Avengers.
No. I was going to say this. I can't say this because I promised the guy wouldn't tell anyone. So
yeah,
never
you
mind.
Can't talk about it. Yeah,
because there's okay, I'll say this about it. There's something in The Avengers that is very, very key to me. Like, it's a very important thing to me specifically that I can't tell anyone that's in there.
Oh.
But it's that part of it's awesome. But no, I love The Avengers. Are you kidding me? It's awesome. Where's Ant-Man, though? Where's Wasp? What's going on with those?
Where are the stupid characters?
Come on, bring those
in. We'll see them in the next batch.
Listen, here's the deal. When you're making a movie like that, you can't put those stupid things in there. You can make your own Galaxy's Guardian bullcrap, whatever, offshoot thing and make that work or have their own movies. I get that because they get their own tone and everything. But The Avengers having a Wasp lady and a tiny man in it, that only works in the comics. It does not work on film. So I'm with their decision.
We'll see. Because there is an Ant-Man movie in the works, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. And that may work on its own. I'm just saying
I think once you establish him as a relevant character in his own movie, then you bring him to the Avengers and it works. Because Hank Pym, is a brilliant scientist. Like he's up there, and that's the thing you need to focus on.
Right. No, I totally understand. All right. Sorry.
I just want to say this kind of a side note. You, Scott, ruined the song. The new song by Daft Punk.
Oh, with the monkey, the Mexican monkeys, yeah.
Oh, no. The local.
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. Hold on, let's play it again. Let's ruin it again. Hold on. I'm going to find it here. I got it right here. If people don't know, if you missed that episode, let's just quickly revisit this. Daft Punk, here it is. Get Lucky, here it is. All right. So we're going to skip ahead a little bit. Okay, normal singing, that's fine. See, now they're... Okay, they're up to Get Lucky, but then later... We're up on Mexicans. Can't not hear it.
That's not what it. You did a comic that said we're up all night to get Loki.
The
main enemy in the Avengers.
All right. Well, I've ruined it twice for you then.
Yes, you did.
Get Loki and up all Mexican. All right. Fantastic.
Avengers, get it.
Yeah. I know. Comic was a lot of fun to draw, mainly because I like doing Thor as an overweight goofball with a red nose. But other than that, yeah, you're up all night to get Loki.
So,
Well, all right. The Avengers. That seems like as good a recommendal as anyone could make.
That's your standard classical
mainstream. Yep.
Mainstream. The next one I have for you is a little off. Actually, the next two are going to be a little bit more. Probably you've never even heard of them.
Okay.
2011 film starring Rainn Wilson, Liv Tyler, and Ellen Page, named Super.
Oh yeah, I never saw this.
I forgot about this.
It's streaming. It's not on Amazon Prime. It's only on Netflix. Rainn Wilson's character is married to Liv Tyler. Liv Tyler kind of falls in with a drug dealer. Kevin Bacon is also in this film. And Rainn Wilson kind of goes off the deep end and he becomes a superhero named Crimson Bolt. And Ellen Page works in a comic book store and she wants to be a sidekick. So this movie, you cannot go into this movie thinking Avengers. You can't think any traditional superhero. It is a dark, gritty, and it may not be for everyone. I'm warning you. You might get to the end. You go, I hated that film. But
like Kick-Ass level dark, or like
I think it's darker.
Oh wow! Because Kick-Ass is pretty dark.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and of course you're thinking Rainn Wilson. Oh, funny? No, there are some funny moments, of course, but it's a dark comedy. Yeah. So. Interesting.
All right.
I mean, I would put it up there with Kick-Ass, but I think it goes even beyond Kick-Ass.
Wow. So how's Ellen Page? I like her a lot.
She's great in the film. Yeah. I mean, she wants to be a sidekick, so she kind of creates her own character, and it's Rainn Wilson coming to terms with his wife in real life and the drug dealer story and kind of what it means to him to why he's becoming a superhero. So
but it's still a comedy. I mean, there's comedic elements, right? Like, it's not just downer time, right?
Oh, no, there's comedic elements to it. But it's a serious film, right. Even though it's about superheroes. And that one's called Just Super.
Right. All right. Super it is, then. I'm in. Let's watch that, Brian. Let's come back.
Yeah,
let's come back
with a vengeance.
All right.
I wonder if that's a Netflix. Is it, or not Netflix? Is it film sackable?
Oh,
is what I was gonna say.
I don't know. Too new, maybe.
Well, I'm asking Nicole if it's film sackable.
Yeah. What do you think, Nicole?
No, not really.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't think all right. so.
Give it a few years. Maybe 20 years from now, will be when we're still doing that show.
Yeah, I don't think so.
All right.
The next one might. So this one isn't superhero, but they do wear costumes.
All right.
So it's the 2012 independent film Unicorn City.
Oh, dude, that's was filmed here. And what? We met the, I don't remember the character's name.
Utah Connection.
Oh, major Utah Connection. It was filmed right here in Salt Lake, and they had the guy works at a bookstore who's also in the film. And we were in this bookstore and ran into him and talked to him for a little while. Kim did mainly, but that's huge around here. Everyone loves that thing.
I really, really enjoyed this film. Yeah. I picked it up because Netflix told me that it thinks I will give it 4 stars. And I would have to say I would give it 4 stars because it was a lot of fun. The main character is named Voss. He plays in a guild and they do tabletop. And everything is a kind of a slant on D&D. They can't say Dungeons & Dragons, so they make up their own names.
For the game. Yeah, it's basically, well, it's like there's LARPing and it's so nerdy. Huh. It's awesome.
It's he wants to create a utopia for gamers, but he's doing it in the guise of trying to get a job.
Yeah.
And then there's a girl that's part of the guild that has a crush. And then, of course, Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite is in this.
That's right. Any of the local, like,
I love it.
Of the locally done stuff, like even Napoleon Dynamite, which was actually mostly filmed in Preston, Idaho, but it was these Utah film people. And for whatever reason, that actor that plays Uncle Rico, he is all up in the local film scene here. I don't know what really? Is up with that. Yeah. He shows up in everything, and he's in this one too.
And when you watch the opening credits, you will think Napoleon Dynamite.
It's very kind of Wes Anderson kind of vibe, yeah, for sure.
And I was really surprised because the acting's really good. It was just a fun movie. Mm-hmm. And if if you're a gamer, whether you're video games, tabletop, LARPing, I think you might enjoy this film. It's a really surprised, wow, I really like that movie. A lot of funny moments.
Yeah,
They really... You always run the line of going too hard into the stereotypes and then, making gamers look bad. And I don't think this movie did at all. So, yeah.
Well,
loved it.
There you have
I loved
it. There you have it. Good watch recommendals, it. All hero-based in their own strange way. Yes. And
added them to I added the two I haven't seen to my Netflix queue, so thank you for that.
There you go. Nicole's at Nicole Spag on Twitter. You can find her all over the damn place. LadiesOfElite.com, FinalScoreShow.com. We'll have another one of those this week. Before
I am the internet.
And you're doing a little, aren't you guys doing a little side bit in Ertacular? I can't remember what your plan was for Ladies of Elite.
Yeah, Kim and Stephanie will be there as well. And we said, hey, let's go over and record a Lazy Elite while we're all together.
Awesome.
I think there's a side room or something.
There is. The way we've done this, so we have the big main panel stuff, and then during some of the off time, there is kind of this second room, and Brian, you'll probably remember it. You were crop dusting it when we were there last. It's a perfect kind of like little sub podcasting room, and it's going to be great. Lots of people will be able to fit in there and kind of catch some of these sideshows and stuff. So, not that you guys are a sideshow in the strictest definition of the word.
I get it.
Nicole, I can't.
You mean farting when you say crop dusting?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Don't worry, it's been ventilated properly.
Oh yeah, it's fine now. And actually, fine now. Yeah.
I didn't do any in that room.
No.
Yeah, he was holding it in there.
Room, holy crap.
Yeah, that's the other stuff. They're probably still dealing with it. There you go, Nicole. Always a pleasure, as my dad would say. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye now.
See you.
All right.
Yeah, I think they had to cordon off that ballroom.
Yeah, well, the police tape was a bit much, but... right. We are, man, where are we? It's Tom time? Oh, that's very distressing.
Tom time. It's very distressing.
No, it's not. Tom's easy. Come on. He's a nice guy. He's a friendly member of society. Mm-hmm. He's got his own intro, too. I'm going to play it. If I can find it. Let's see. Here he is.
So angry.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
And that man is Tom Merritt. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Tom Merritt. Hello, Tom. Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Scott and Brian. How the
hello.
Frell are you?
You can say hell. It's fine. Hey.
I didn't want to.
That's
don't
all right.
Bully me.
Listen, you.
I'm angry.
You have the right to choose. And that's what I'm arguing for today, is your right to choose, Brian, or Tom. So Tom, Tom Merritt,
why is he angry? Why is he angry?
No, he's not. He's never angry. Are you kidding me? Tom Merritt, as you may know, if you listen to the top of the show, is now part of the team makeup.
Team Dragon
in the Frog Pants All-Stars, battle, which will happen.
I am Team Dragon.
Yes. You are Team Dragon. So you are, let me tell you.
I'm just saying, you better wake the dragon.
Fantastic. So I'm going to put your eggs in a fire, and some blonde has to walk in there and not die.
That's me.
So I'm going to see. Let's see. Let's tell him the teams real quick. So it's you. It's Jury. It's remind me, Brian, who's the third?
So on Randy's team, it's Justin Robert Young, you, and Dunaway.
Dunaway, that's it.
Oh,
with
okay.
Eric Van Skyhawk as an alternate.
Yeah, versus
Scott's team
versus me,
Schwood, and Veronica.
Yep.
Who's the alternate on the Dragons?
Eric Van Skyhawk.
Eric Van Skyhawk, correct. Ooh. Yeah.
I'm not going to say who I would replace because it might be me. I might want some Van Skyhawk on that main squad.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be an interesting year. Justin is, I've learned Justin is like a trivia brain fart.
He's a deep well.
Yeah, very deep. And I know that Schwood can hold up pretty well too.
Yeah.
This is going to be interesting is all I know.
The best part about Veronica is that when she gets nervous, she can't remember things.
Oh, great. Perfect.
She knows plenty. She knows as much as anybody on any of those teams. But I know that she's going to do at least once go, oh, I know this.
Right. And she'll also at some point get real competitive and want to punch Brian for a question.
Yeah,
or
right.
Something.
Yeah.
I can't hear. Speak into the microphone.
I love it. So we are all looking forward to that, and thanks for joining in the fun on that. That'll be great.
I'm looking forward. I'm glad. I'm happy to represent for the Dragons. So which team are you?
I'm the Brian? The Celtic.
Celtic symbol.
That's fine.
Something better. You'll come up.
You know what? I'm going with Celtic symbol. I think that's a funny.
You know, Veronica's going to be upset she's not on Team Dragon.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
well, she is the
dragon
mother-in-law of dragons, or this cousin, second cousin of dragons. All right, there's a cartoon in there somewhere. I have to think about that. Something about dragon relationship to a dragon mother. Anyway, Tom Merritt, it's a technology time. Let's talk some tech here. It's been dragons a couple of crazy, crazy weeks of technology news come and go. The whole Microsoft flip flop and all that. What is hot today on the plate for TNT?
Well, Microsoft Build is going to kick off here in about 40 minutes in San Francisco, so we'll be keeping an eye on that for tech news today. It's a developer conference, but unlike the Worldwide Developer Conference, you just never know what you're going to get from the keynote kickoff.
Mm-hmm.
Probably Steve Ballmer is going to get up there and say things in a very loud voice. Mm. Other than that, I'm not sure. We do know that Windows 8.1 is going to be released as a preview build at this conference, yeah. and they've already released the server build, so we kind of know exactly what's coming, so there won't be any big surprises there.
Yeah.
But it'll still be interesting to see what Ballmer and friends have to say, because they've been making a lot of noises about we're a devices and services company. So and they might come out with a new tablet announcement, maybe. Who knows? Mm-hmm. They might talk about, you know, a new strategy for Windows or Office. It's hard to say.
Well, this just in, everybody, especially because maybe they're going to revamp that RT thing, which is getting a lot of heat right now. This just in. This is I'm being told in my ear this is what Ballmer's going to say. Here's a preview.
How much do you think this advanced operating environment is worth? Wait just 1 minute before you answer.
It looks like he's going to sell Windows 3.0 again.
Is he sweating again? Oh. Yeah, I can't wait. Sweating and yelling.
The return of Program Manager.
Oh, man. I do like it when Ballmer... he is entertaining for me to watch. I like watching him get up and do his developers scream and everything else he does. I think it's kind of awesome.
The thing about him is he never does the same thing twice, but it's always crazy whatever he comes out with.
Yeah. I mean, do you think there's going to be... This is predictive time, and obviously we have no way of knowing, but do you think there'll be any reference or nods or anything in the direction of all this Xbox stuff, or do they really try hard to keep that stuff separate and apart?
I doubt it. The only thing that I could think of that could pop up maybe is if they change their because it's a developers conference, if they change the developer relationship so that you don't have to partner with a publisher to publish a game on Xbox.
Right.
That's one of the big hangups with Xbox One is if I want to be in the Xbox store as an indie, I have to partner with a publisher. I can't just publish it direct like I can with the PS4.
Yeah. And the one thing that always surprises me in the commentary and punditry that happened around the Xbox stuff that nobody really seemed to bring up and just is always in my mind is this. Why is it that Microsoft ignores or doesn't talk about, and this is a little existential in terms of conversation here, but I wonder why they never bring up this idea or mention the fact or even acknowledge the fact that they are the operating system that is dominant in the market. So when gamers play games on PCs, they're playing on personal computers. They are playing primarily in a Windows environment. And like sometimes happens to them, people come in and steal their thunder with something they should have thought of first and implemented. I would use Steam as an example in this case. And they've given such short shrift to games in the last few years, they really just don't care about the PC gaming side of things. But it's ironic that the Xbox is actually somewhat, you could say, percentagely threatened this year, this new console, by a stronger PC environment brought on mainly by services like Steam. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that I would have expected years ago, if not, why not now even, Microsoft to get up and go, here is our Steam killer. Now, it may not be maybe too late. Maybe they think it's too late. Maybe it's like the Zune or it's like anything else where they kind of come to the table too late and they just can't compete in that, whatever that little piece of market share is. But I find it so odd that they don't even acknowledge that this platform, which they own, is actually cutting into their other platform that they want to succeed. Why don't they just harness that thing? Thoughts, Tom?
They did, Scott. They started a store in Windows 8 that's available in the Tile interface, and it pissed Gabe Newell off. Because he looked at that and said, oh, so with Windows 8, you're coming after Steam.
Oh, yeah.
Fine, I'm going to create a Linux version of Steam. That's why we have a Linux version of Steam. And I'm going to start messing around with a box of my own. How would you like them apples, Microsoft, if I started selling a box that doesn't have the games on Windows? You going to sell a lot more copies of Windows? I don't think so. So that's the line that Microsoft's walking here is we're the platform. So as gamers, we probably don't want Microsoft to get into the business of operating a Steam on Windows because that's too much of a vertical. That's too much of a monopoly. We want Steam, and then we want better alternatives to Steam to prop up so that there'll be a nice, you know, competition going on and it drives everybody to make better products. I don't know if we want Microsoft involved in that. And having the Microsoft store in the Tile interface is kind of a step in that direction. I'm not sure how crazy successful it is. It's really meant for the tablets.
Right.
But don't forget, there's an Xbox Tile that is meant to be for all of your games that you download from the Microsoft Store on Windows 8. Mm. And that's exactly the kind of thing you're talking about in miniature, right?
They're
taking baby steps towards that, and it already threatened a lot of relationships.
Sure.
And I think a lot of publishers like EA say, you know what, we really want to own that ourselves. We want to have Origin. Mm. We don't want to play in your sandbox, Microsoft. So it'll be interesting. I'm not saying they won't do it, Scott. I think Microsoft wants to do it. If this is Ballmer's plan to be devices and services, that's a service, right?
Right.
And if they can go in and convince people like, hey, let us do this, let us be your Origin, let us be your Steam, they will. But they have to do it in a way that doesn't blow everybody off and drive them into their platforms.
Yeah, I think you're right. And it's also, I mean, one of the big advantages Steam has is Steam is an independent thing. They will take anyone. So if you want to publish games, guess what? Steam will publish your game. Unlike, say, Origin. And Origin gets a lot of flack because it's EA only. And that's not entirely true. EA will accept other games as well, but it's still a much more locked into EA sort of ecosystem. And if Microsoft did it in a more overt way, it would very much be, oh, well, Microsoft's trying to, you know, control this, and people would go against that. Much like Mac users don't really love the way the Mac App Store works in a lot of ways, and the way it kind of closes out certain kinds of apps and developers and things like that, and with more stringent rules. So I totally get where you're coming from. It just feels like one of those weird Microsoft missed opportunity from probably a long time ago. Starting now is probably too late, but, you know, Steam should have been an idea that they spearheaded, and I know they were all up in Xbox at the time, Xbox One and 360 transition, and it was all about consoles at that point. And maybe it still is, but it just has always felt weird to me. You won't, that is your operating system, and you're letting other people dominate it. And maybe that's okay, too, because it's still their operating system, so that's how they're making their money anyway. And
that is how they make their money. That's at 90%. Well, I don't know if it's 90%.
Maybe they don't care.
But it's the majority of the money is selling Windows. So anything that drives Windows sales should conceivably be good for them. And don't forget, when Microsoft bundles things into their operating system, they go to court.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Internet Explorer, Windows Media Player. There's a long list of things, antivirus even, back in the day, that Microsoft got sued over because they tried to provide it.
Mm. Yeah. Well, there you go. Lawsuits are not. Video games, everyone. Video games. Tom, it's...
That's one of my favorite video games. Lawsuits.
Lawsuits. 2013 simulator. So Tom is coming under attack. We all know about that. FSL is going to be there. Sword and Laser is going to be there. We've got space for that. It's all going to happen. That's going to be awesome. Can't wait to see some of this extra stuff happen where I don't have to run around with a microphone the whole time. That's going to be my favorite.
Nice.
Sit and listen to my friends talk, which is always good. I'm very excited about that.
So you're going to be a guest on all our shows? Great, thanks.
Yeah, pull me on up. That's fine. I'll be around. As long as I'm eating, I'll be fine. Tom, it's before we let you go, though, anything beyond or anything between now and then that people should be aware of?
Yeah, well, okay, a couple things. Like you said, the FSL Tonight All-Star Game just happens to happen the week of Nerdtacular.
Yay.
Wow. That'll be the show we do there. Sword and Laser will be doing an episode there, and we just finished our vote for the July pick, which will be Larry Niven's Ringworld. Although it was very close with John Scalzi's Redshirts, so Redshirts is our alternate pick for July. You can read either one or both. Up
to
you. And big news... 10 State Issue 1 and 2, the comic book that Len Peralta and I are working on, is out to the Kickstarter backers in their little hands. If you're a Kickstarter backer and you haven't got it yet, check your email or send us a note through the Kickstarter thing and say, hey, I didn't get the link, because you should have both those issues. And Issue 1 has been submitted to Comixology. So as soon as it gets approved and is available in the store there, those of you who didn't back the Kickstarter will be able to purchase Issue 1. And then we plan to release Issue 2 once Issue 3 goes to the Kickstarter backers. Just, you know, because the Kickstarter backers get a little something-something.
Yeah, a little something back. It is a cool project and definitely awesome to see the progress on that. Len does amazing work and your writing is awesome and you guys are great. So, yes, please continue to watch for that, support that. And, gosh, you got other stuff coming, but some of you can't talk about. So we're not going to talk about it here. A cool new book I'm excited about. But
I know. I want to talk about it. Scott did a cover for a book.
Yeah, very excited about that. We'll talk about that later.
I love that cover, by the way. I cannot tell you how much I love that.
Oh, I'm very happy to hear that. I was really having fun making it, so that makes me happy to hear. Tom Merritt is on Twitter, of course, Ace Detect. You can find far less flame bait from him today than you will from me. So follow him on Twitter. Also, of course, everything at tommerritt.com. Twitlive.tv coming up here in about an hour and a half. Or hour. What is it? Hour.
Hour and a half.
Hour and a half, yeah. Why do I always get that wrong or think I have it wrong?
You always get it right and then go, wait a minute, is that right?
I don't know why I do that.
Yeah.
Anyway, Tom Merritt, Fares Travels, and we'll see you here in about a week and a half.
Yeah, a little over a week and a half. So.
All right, brother.
Just about a week.
Bye now. See ya.
Later.
Bye. All right, let's make love to our tater.
All right.
No, let's not do that. Let's not do that. Let's tell you an email I got here.
Okay.
This one's from Charles.
Oh, is he in charge?
No.
Oh.
Well, of our days and nights, that's it, though.
But not our wrongs and our rights?
No. Oh. That's, he doesn't have that kind of moral authority. Are you kidding me? Forget it. Just days and nights. Way to go, Chachi. On the topic of gluten, Charles sent an email and said this. Hey, Servo and Boo. Bah, be, hold on. I've got this. I don't know what that is.
He's trying to come up with, hey, Servo and Boo. Hold on. I've got this.
Oh.
He's trying to come up with a B and he's not.
I got it. Or is it a reference to Mystery Science Theater 3000 or something?
Is it the Servo, Tom Servo?
Yeah, maybe.
Who knows?
Not sure about this. Anyway, my dad is gluten sensitive. My day is gluten sensitive. And really has
but
to
by
be.
Night, I'm all over the place on gluten all the time.
That's right. And he has to be really careful about what he eats. Wheat is used in a lot of things besides breads. Candy uses it as a stabilizer or a fiber or filler rather. It is put in sauces as a thickener. Oh, Brian loves the thickening.
Anything thickener. Jeez.
And it helps companies make potato products more consistent. My dad has to look up everything he eats online because companies don't always state that in that they are using wheat in their ingredients list. That seems like a oversight. Why would they not include that? They should, right?
Mm-hmm.
Weird. Anyway, regardless of your perpetual and unceasing battery... Yeah, that's it. Servo and battery. Oh, I get it. He ended his thing. He fixed it at the end.
Oh, gotcha.
And now it makes
hilarious
sense to me. Earlier, yes. I didn't see that, and it didn't make. I didn't get it. But anyway, I get it now. Yeah, I've had a lot of conversations with people about gluten lately. And, man, the people who are really sensitive to it are the ones that just, it's miserable. Everything they eat, they have to go, okay, hold on. I got to find out what's in this. You know, they got to be real careful. So anyway, hats off to everybody who has to deal with that crap. That sounds like a major pain in the butt. Okay. Moving on.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Okay. What? We never got JRY for a Wednesday
appearance. Oh, I was going to try that, wasn't I? Crap.
You were.
Did I?
That's all right.
I totally forgot again. Hold on. See if he's around. Yeah, I spaced that we talked about that yesterday, didn't we? Justin.
Hello.
Oh my gosh, I almost forgot about this. Brian freaking reminded me, so hold on.
These are their stories.
I'm like...
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
All right, sorry. What?
I was like texting you and everything.
Oh, you did? Shoot.
I'm like, what?
My ringer's off.
It's better if you text me, JRY.
Sorry, man.
This is the biggest mistake I've ever made, is not texting Brian instead
exactly.
of Scott.
Who really runs Bartertown here? Come on.
Justin runs Bartertown.
Blaster runs Bartertown.
That's right. So are you happy to hear you were picked for one of the competitive teams at Nerdtacular's Battle of the Frogpants Stars?
Not only am I thrilled that I'm picked for the team, but I'm thrilled to be alongside my FSL booth mate.
Mm.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Merritt.
Yeah. It's good.
Never even made that connection when I was looking at the list here, but totally, yeah.
Give you guys a bit of an advantage when you're talking about competitive, you know, competition. You guys have had some experience with making up some of that.
I'll tell you what, if any part of this here trivia competition has to do with coming up with arcane references to franchises for which we all know and love, then I feel like me and Tom are at a real competitive advantage.
Yeah. That's actually all it is, so damn.
Screwed, all of us. So, but it's more importantly, the juxtaposition of you on one team and Brian Brushwood on the other. That's some pretty intense business right there.
Who knows if he'll even be recovered from trying to cancel his Time Warner cable, which is happening now, unfolding. And, you know, a lot of people are like, "Oh, Paula Deen melting down on television," or the Defense of Marriage Act being struck down by the Supreme Court, yeah. Or maybe even Aaron Hernandez getting arrested, possibly for murder.
Yeah.
No, ladies and gentlemen, you want to see real drama on the internet. Brian trying to cancel his cable right now.
And seems to be struggling with that. Is this is he unplugging finally? Is this him getting rid of TV? What is this?
I think it's him being really mad that they tried to tack an extra $20 on his bill.
Ah.
Now he's getting all up in their business and trying to cancel things. And So, I don't know. He's upset about it. Man, he is madder than a hornet's nest.
Yeah, I've never seen him so pissed. Well, good luck to him and all he does. Hopefully it won't affect his performance on my team when we go live next week.
He'll be harboring that, yeah.
So, Justin, we missed you yesterday due to unforeseen circumstances. There had to have been something on your mind. Oh, you were sleeping.
I was certainly unforeseen because I didn't see anything because I was asleep.
I love that you're asleep because the text I got was right after we ended the show and it was some expletive and I overslept, which is just the greatest thing to get.
No, it was like odd because for one reason or another, like I was in like a really deep sleep and like I woke up, especially when you travel as much as I do, you always live in fear of waking up too rested because like that means you missed your plane.
Right. And then, I totally understand. And look, you are like man about the world. You spend, I don't know, umpteen hours on planes and different time zones and all this crap. Can we really complain that you kind of slept through one of your segments? I mean, really.
And I'll tell you what, I feel like I strategically did it in hindsight just because today, a way more interesting day to talk about things than yesterday. Yesterday sucked.
Yeah.
It was terrible. It was god awful. This day, though, all-star, one for the ages. Yeah. So have you guys covered the Defense of Marriage Act thing?
We haven't talked about it a whole lot, no. This is the Supreme Court thing. The Texas thing was the loud thing yesterday or last night.
Oh, no. Come on. That was like 12 hours ago that everybody was freaking out and hyperventilating over a thing on the internet. Now we're hyperventilating and freaking out over this thing.
Yeah. So fill us in because honestly, I'm a little behind on this particular bit of news.
So the Defense of Marriage Act, which was passed in the mid-90s, basically defined marriage as between one man and one woman, and that was struck down as unconstitutional by the Supreme Court, including as I find just very amusing, and as I did last summer, the swing vote that really made the difference was Chief Justice Roberts, who was appointed by President Bush 43, and was at the time hailed as like, well, now that's it. Now nothing will ever happen in the Supreme Court by all my liberal friends who like thought he was like Darth Vader.
Yeah. And I remember that. He was reviled at the time.
Oh yeah, yeah. And then he became Chief Justice and all hope was lost. And then, you know, in the last 2 years, he's infuriated the conservatives as he was the swing vote for the Obamacare thing and now is the swing vote on stuff like this. And as much as I am thrilled that you know, the human rights of gay, you know, marriage equality is something that exists. It still is, to be honest, it's kind of a weird thing for me on a very, 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 like, I mean, I guess like a clerical level, like,
right.
Just because like, I kind of feel like I'm not in love with the idea that marriage as a religious term is a legal term.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I feel like it should be like, we should all get like the shared tax benefit paper from the government, mm-hmm. you know? Because mm-hmm. like, that's what they do. They take taxes from us. Like, why should it be called marriage and not just for homosexual unions, but straight unions? You know, like if you want to get married in a church, get married in a church. And that's marriage. That's like its own thing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that train left the station long ago.
No, I could not be more. This is kind of where I'm at with it. I have two pieces of thought about it that are really fundamental and not fun for people to argue about because they're boring. And one of them is that, what you just said. That just makes sense to me. But also, I just want to get to a point where nobody cares anymore. Like, I just don't. Yeah. I don't care what. If people don't care who I love and who I married, I don't care who gets married. I don't care. It has zero mm-hmm. effect on me. Literally no effect on me, my children, my wife, my life, my lifestyle, my sexuality, my gender, any of it has nothing to do with anything. So I don't know why anyone cares. Like, why does it matter so much? I don't understand.
Well, I think for this, it matters because there was an inequality there. You know, the those who, you know, are very, very happy today would say that, you know, before there was the threat that, and this Defensive Marriage Act said that if, let's say, one of your children decided that they were going to marry somebody of the same gender, they would not be able to do it in the same way that you married.
Oh, no, no. Him. Yeah. See, and, that, and I'm on the side of, I don't know why everyone cares if somebody else wants to get married and happen to be the same sex.
That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. That's the part I don't care about, because it doesn't affect anything. If two people, it has zero impact on me, so I don't know why I would ever have any right to say to those guys, no, sorry, I only get to do it. Why? Because I'm white and straight. That's why. Yeah. Come on. Like, and the thing is,
I feel like you should do that as
George. Ruins marriage for me.
But if people are hearing me, I guarantee this is happening right now, because it always happens. People are hearing me say this right now, and they are assuming something about me that isn't true. They're assuming that I'm some kind of tree-hugging liberal. But I am more conservative than they are, because this to me is not...
Oh, you hear that?
Well, this is what I'm saying.
I poke it.
I am a big believer in their other big tenet, which is government stay out of my life. I believe I believe less government should be a really good thing. I think some government's okay. Less government would be great. Fiscally conservative all the way. And I don't care who gets married. I don't have any discrimination towards them. They don't have any toward me, so why should I toward them?
Yeah.
It's not fair.
Well, that's what I think you had a good tweet, you know, today, that, you know, the people who, you know, the white men who scream and yell about how there should be less government in your life should, I don't know, maybe try to get out of people's lives.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right. So I don't know. I mean, I realize these are all touchy issues, and I know there's more nuance than I'm giving it, but I agree with what you're saying.
And I do sympathize and you know, it's why I like this platform, because I feel like I can have this conversation in a way that I would not really be able to do in 140 characters on Twitter without people kind of reading what they want to ever add into it. But
right.
I do have sympathy for some of the people that, you know, are not, you know, fans of this particular ruling, just because if let's say it is a religious tenet for you personally, mm-hmm. it's kind of like how people what they thought about Star Trek or Man of Steel, sure. like the new movies.
Sure.
It's like, listen, there are a lot of people who have way more invested in those properties, and so what happens in those movies just means something different fundamentally to them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And there are people that like have a lot more just culturally invested in the idea that marriage is between a man and a woman. And I understand that those people exist. And on some level, I have a fundamental empathy for like, well, then I understand where this hurts and where you think this is wrong. I disagree vehemently. But I can understand where somebody comes from.
But you can park that too. You can park that at the door with that relationship and say, yeah, you and I disagree fundamentally on this. And it's like, you know, Brian thinks Kate Upton's hot. I think she's weird looking. All right. So here's our example.
I'm with you, Brian. She's really hot.
She's really weird. Hot. She's totally weird looking. But look, you guys and I know this has very little in terms of stakes.
Cat daddy dance. You seen her do the cat daddy dance?
I have seen the cat daddy. Scott? The one in the basement of that photo guy.
Yeah, I've seen with that creepy photo guy. Who knows what happened in that place? But here's
number one. You want to know the weirdest people on the planet? And I mean like criminal creepy are photographers.
There they are.
Yeah. Right,
especially that guy in particular. He's documented weird. Like
literally their whole fashion photographers. Their goal in life is to get young girls beyond their comfort zone and more naked.
Yeah,
like that's like their job.
Yeah,
it is the creepiest job ever.
I have
almost creepier than the doll guy in Florida.
Oh no, yeah, not quite, but yeah, that guy's great. But this is a good comparison. People say, oh, you're trivializing it because you're saying movies or you're saying Kate Upton. It's not the same as something that's been 100 years argument about marriage or about abortion or about all these other issues. I have no problem with Justin could come in here and he could have the most opposite opinion on something ever than I have.
I think we do.
We probably do.
There's a lot of fundamental things. I think we do probably.
We probably do, but I don't have. I don't feel like there's any blood loss between us. Like, it's not like we can't disagree on those things, have really interesting, heated, and even constructive conversations and arguments about things, and still walk out the door with a, you know, sharing a personal pan pizza or whatever absolutely. Bad analogy. You know what I'm saying? So I know that this just sounds like I'm saying, can't we all just get along? And I don't want it to boil down to that because I know it's more nuanced. I understand that, people listening. I get it. But I just think it's important to note that, you know, we don't, it's not, we just don't live in a vacuum and everybody. Well,
but this is why this show, this is why our discussions about Star Trek, our discussions about Star Wars, our discussion about geek culture, our discussion about sports matter to me. Because it gives us a vehicle that we can understand, hey, we have passions about things that aren't these really, really, really hot button issues that people have invested so much time, effort, and themselves into, and oftentimes becomes a landmine whenever you try to get into any nuance. That, you know, you have a better discussion about gay marriage if you are on the if you are two people that are on opposite sides, if you've previously discussed whether or not, you know, the reveal in Star Trek 2 was, you know, appropriate based on previous Star Trek movies. Like, you know, I very much believe that, you know, because you get to know the measure of somebody and you understand that they're not the argument. They're a person and you should treat them like a person and you should understand that there are motivations to how everybody thinks about stuff, even if you really disagree and you really think that the world is a worse place if people like them continue to think like that. And that's really what you know, the most eye-opening thing that I ever experienced when I was a reporter was there was a murder out in, when I used to work in Allentown, Pennsylvania, and I went and it was like in the boonies, right? This like really rural area, and the murder was between a guy and his boyfriend. Now this is red country, you know, like this is deep red voting country.
Right.
But I went out and interviewed a bunch of these people around here and they all knew that this guy was gay. And, you know, they were shocked to hear it in the way that, you know, anybody would be shocked to hear that there was any kind of murder in their neighborhood. But what I brought away from it was like not the idea that everybody was really conservative, but like the people there were more about, hey, listen, like this is about borders. Like what you do on your side of the border is fine. Like stay on your property. Otherwise, if you want to, you know, a cup of sugar, be happy to help out with that. But just, you know, you do what you do, we do what we do, and that's it. And it's like, it just completely flipped how I thought everybody was going to react. Yeah. I thought everyone was going to be, what? There was a gay living next to me. Fumigate the neighborhood, you know. and it was certainly not that. And it just made me was one of those things that made me reconsider. Like, wow, I'm dumb. Like, I make a lot of dumb assumptions and decisions, and I should start every time that I am having especially important conversations, realizing that and trying to do a lot more listening than I do talking, except for this show where I talk constantly.
Well, yeah, but that's, I think you just boiled down what I was struggling to say. I think that's exactly what I was trying to say, is that it's all right to, the problem is Twitter sucks for this. It's terrible for it. I'm part of the problem. If I'm going to go on there and make some comment about how I feel about a very important, you know, social issue, divisive issue, and then not expect, you know, short, hyperbolic, angry, whatever, well, then I'm the dumb one. Because I'm doing the same thing they are. I'm seeing these tweets come back at me, and I'm going, that tweet pisses me off. And what I'm really not doing is going, that tweet comes from a guy who feels very passionately about a thing, and he is a guy who's probably, you know, probably like me. He's trying to raise a family. He's trying to figure life out. He's trying to do what he can do. You don't get that on Twitter on the surface of it. You have to stop and really think about it, and not everybody, including me, does.
I mean,
that
guy's probably a dummy, but, like, Twitter, in terms of a deep conversation, imagine if you were trying to have a deep conversation, but you could only speak in protest signs.
Oh, dude.
Like, whatever you could write on a protest sign was the only way that you could engage in one way or another. That's basically what Twitter is. And it's amazing, and it's fantastic, but, man, the echo chamber is constructed and executed on very quickly on Twitter when things of any kind of political nature happen. And today, oh man, it's just all between that and the Paula Deen and the Aaron Hernandez arrest. It's just my Twitter is just completely incoherent.
Well, we called Paula Deen to get her word on the on how crazy the today was. We said, "Can it get any worse?" And she said,
"No."
All right, well, we're going to take her. Wow,
I'll tell you, if she Paula, before you go, if there is one word that starts with a D that you could use to describe today, what would it be?
It's very distressing.
Oh, good answer.
Oh, shit, wait. Hold on. They're telling me in my ear again. She's got one more thing to say to you.
Your butt is going to be mine.
All right. Watch out.
Was that today or is that old?
That was today. It was her today
really?
Show. Yeah, with the today show appearance.
She was threatening Matt Lauer, man.
Yeah.
Your butt. Oh.
No, it's out of context. For fairness, she was talking about her dad would forbid them from ever treating anyone as less than her. She was basically just saying how she was raised to respect everyone, regardless of race or creed or whatever.
Well, that worked out.
And said her dad was gonna, your butt will be mine. He would say to her, and
all right.
I took it out of context. So
here's the thing with Paula Deen, this would be no different. And I mean materially, no different except for a change of corporate parent that would have to fire or apologize for the actions of this exact same controversy if it were Foghorn Leghorn instead of Paula Deen. This is the exact same thing. The exact same people get upset. The exact same people defend it. The exact same people are in righteous indignation about it. The exact same. It would be a little bit more stuttering on Matt Lauer.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. And he would say, yeah, that.
Well, now I is what I is.
All right, you heard it here first. We have compared Paula Deen, at least Paula Deen herself, to Foghorn Leghorn.
Foghorn Leghorn.
Fantastic. I can't think of a better way to end this little bit of business. So, coming up this next week, of course, you'll find Justin right here in Salt Lake City, and specifically at Snowbird, enjoying the camaraderie of the Frog Pants community and doing FSL and hanging out with us on stage, doing the media panel and a bunch of other crap. I can't wait, Justin. It's going to be a blast.
Oh, dude. So wait, are there no shows next week?
There are no shows next week. We are out. We are showless next week. Mm-hmm. No TMS all week.
Right.
But well, here's Saturday. What
will be a live TMS.
Here's what we should do. I got this idea. Yeah, yeah. And you'll be a part of that as well, Justin.
Yeah.
I'm thinking maybe Monday night, since or sometime Monday. I don't know if it has to be night, but sometime Monday, maybe you and I and anyone who wants to come, including you, Brian, who's seen it, if we want to have like a quick hour-long spoiler cast about World War Z, I think I'd be all up in that.
Yeah. So, well, does anything else come out this week? Or is that the big...
I think that's the big one, right? Well, there's Monsters U, but that's not like a spoiler movie. I can't think of anything else. I think this is the one...
They'll learn a little bit more about themselves in the end. Spoiler!
Yeah.
They're cartoon people! Hope you're ready for it!
Yeah, I'll tell you, I'm excited. I'm probably going to see World War Z either today or tomorrow. So, yeah, no, I will definitely be,
we'll be
a part of
that.
And I would love, I'd love to see folks hit us up and let us know what's coming up that they would like to see.
Yeah, we can get real specific. Absolutely. And I think we'll just go ahead and use whatever we do for this second episode. We'll just use it as an excuse to give it its own feed and just have it out there. And it's, you know, like we said, it's not like a regular set schedule, but we want to be able to have a place to vent on such things And I think that'll be good to have it in its own feed, so watch for that.
So Jemil says that The Heat and White House Down are the two films coming out this week, so World War Z, great choice.
Yeah, pretty good choice. White House Down, that's the new Nolan Emmerich thing, right?
That's the new Olympus Has Fallen, yeah.
Which, by the way, the announcement from that guy, so 2015, you know, well, we've said with the movie draft, which, by the way, Brian's going to win, and that disgusts me. And
pissing
I
me off. Yeah, he's been winning it since day one. Makes me mad.
Well, no, I'm winning it technically now, but I'm going to get the doors blown off me when Despicable Me 2 comes out.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, the year, we are all playing kids' games.
Yeah.
Until the knockdown, drag-out, the biggest year in movie history, 2015.
Yeah.
Which was already insane. Star Wars, Avengers 2, the Justice League movie, another Pirates of the Caribbean, apparently. And then they announced Independence Day 2.
Ugh. But how are they going to? They don't have any more Randy Quaid to fly up the butt of the enemy ship. They don't have Will Smith's out.
Well, they do if they fly, if they film it in Canada.
That's true. Maybe he can take some time off. He survives somehow.
I made it.
They got Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, he's around. He's still back. Got his System 7 notebook with a handmade virus on
no,
it.
No, he's gonna do. It's gonna be an app.
Oh, it'll be an app on a phone, dude.
Of course, it's gonna be an iOS app.
I don't want to see this movie.
I can just download an app.
The app.
The
raindrop falls down the chaos.
It's got a skull and crossbones.
Step one: you download the app. Step two.
Step two, you barf on the donut. Yeah, yeah.
I love that the alien's like behind what looks to be a DJ deck, like he's a member of Daft Punk.
Yep.
You know, and he's just like so upset by all the CRT monitors going into the skull and crossbones.
Yeah. Yep. Do you think we keep President, what's his name?
They announced, that Jeff Goldblum and Bill Pullman, reprising his role as, unless he's president for life. Bill Pullman.
He's in that other. Yeah, I was gonna say he's in some other president movie, show, TV, comedy thing right now.
Yeah, I think
he?
That's canceled though.
Oh, okay. Well, then we're all right.
I want him to reprise his role as Lone Star from Space.
Yeah. Oh, don't remind me. John Candy died. I always feel bad when I think about that. Damn it.
Well, I didn't say that. You did.
I know. I ruined it all for everyone. All right. On that somber note, Justin, thanks for making time today because I know it was weird, but Justin R. Young on Twitter. Freaking NSSW, blah, 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 everything all over the internet. Just go look him.
Yeah.
Look him up.
Brian, I need to get your number. Don't get it out over the air, but we'll figure it out.
801. Oh, all right. See ya. Okay.
My number is 7.
Your number is 7. Wouldn't you love a single digit phone number? That'd be awesome. You'd be the only one. Well, then wait.
I think I'd get a lot of crank calls.
I wonder how that would. It wouldn't work, right? Because you'd hit it and then you'd have to wait. Yeah, I don't think the system works
exactly,
that way.
Yeah. You basically be eliminating anybody to have that as the first number of their number.
Which is a terrible idea.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. Well, I feel pretty good about today's show, and we got to cap it off with a little point given.
Yes.
Like Cleo.
Some whacking. Some whacking of the tally.
Whacking of the tally. Oh, whoops. I need her intro here. I don't think I have that handy. Here it is. I found it. There you go, Ryan. We've done what we came to do. Should we tally whack it?
Make it so.
Yeah. A little bonus on the end. Cleo, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Is it morning there? Or is it noon there where you live?
It's 11.
Oh, wow. Oh, no, you're in central time zone. That's
yes.
Right.
Yes.
I knew that.
I am.
Kansas City. Right?
Damn right.
Well, Kansas something, not city, right? You're not in the city.
No. I'm just about 20 minutes south of Kansas City. I'm close.
You're in a suburb. That's what the kids
call. I'm in a burb.
Fantastic. Well, from the burbs, ladies and gentlemen, Cleo is going to give us points for the day. How'd the chat room do?
They did pretty good. While picking team names, another Jay Martin told us that Sultry Dragon was Coverville's stripper name.
Oh. Yes.
Who knew?
That's true.
And prison nickname.
In cell block B, Sultry Dragon. Okay. During Trek time, Keldog let us know that Crossing the Streams is our King Missile cover band, right. Which I thought was pretty good.
Oh, very good. Yes.
This one, I had to give it to this guy just for the corny factor, but it was fantastic. Jimmy B got when somebody asked, what is Spoon Man's power? Mm-hmm. Who gives a fork? I love that.
Nice.
That's my favorite so far.
So far. And the winner today is Thorin, who tends to end all of the things. He said he has an address for you, how you can send things to hell with no extra postage. Would you like the address?
Yeah, I would.
1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington, D.C.
Oh, zing.
Wow.
Take that, government, and put a point in the column of freedom of speech. Woo!
First Amendment, yo.
Cleo, we'll see you next week. I'll see you tomorrow, but yeah, you're coming next week, too.
I'll see you Wednesday morning, bright and early.
Bye now. Mm-hmm. Wait, isn't today Wednesday morning? Oh, she's talking about next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday.
Oh, you'll see Cleo before I see Cleo.
Yep, we're going to go have blueberry pancakes.
There you go.
Butterscotch pancakes. Blueberry pancakes together.
Doing your own Foghorn Leghorn there.
I'll say we're going to have some blueberry pancakes.
Oh, that's very distressful.
It's very distressing.
And I'm going to go make love to my tater. I'll say.
I say what? All right. Hey, who is the Chicken Hawk? I'm a Chicken Hawk. Remember that little character? Yeah, he was like the Scrappy Doo of that particular Warner Brothers cartoon.
Except he wasn't introduced later on. I mean, he was the beginning? Foil from the get-go, yeah.
Okay. It was him. There was the dog for a while. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that dog talked. Sometimes it didn't. Mm-hmm. And then there was the chicken that loved him. That was always like, yes, or whatever. Anyway, I love cartoons.
Leghorn.
Let's go watch some. Let's end the show so we can. That's going to do it for us, folks. Thanks for being here and hanging out with us once again. AlphaGeekRadio.com is where some of you heard this show on the Shoutcast stream. Big thanks to them. Big thanks to Scott Fletcher, and really excited to see him next week as well. Get our t-shirt /loot.com. It's a hell of a thing to do and the right way to do it. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. On Facebook, you can find us at facebook.com/themorningstream. Email us, themorningstream@gmail.com. And as always, we're on Twitter, morningstream, Scott Johnson, and Coverville. All right. Yes. All right, Brian, let's take it out. What do we got?
Yes. We get an email from Fantas in the forums, actually, not the tadpole. Mm-hmm. He listens to it via the podcast. It says, hello, Starscream and Bumblebee.
Yeah.
I'd love to request a song for my upcoming 29th birthday happening this Friday, June 28th. I love myself some Daft Punk, and I don't know any covers done by the band or by any other artist except for the Kanye West cover of Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger. If you have any covers done by Daft Punk or other artists doing covers of them, I'd love to hear it. If not, any 8-bit cover you have would be awesome as well. Even though I listen to your show in inferior podcast form here in England and can't catch you live, I still love the show. From Fantas on the Frog Pants forums.
I love Fantas. Orange is my favorite, though.
Yes. Mm. Yes, Fantas. Oh, Fantas strawberry is really good, too.
Is it, though? It's more like a cream soda.
It holds up.
Oh, no. Yeah, just the pure strawberry one.
Just the pure strawberry one. But it is cream soda-esque, yeah.
Yeah. We used to have it at the if we had a family picnic of any sort, that was always on hand.
Well, I wonder if SodaStream, we just got one of those SodaStream things, and I wonder if they make a strawberry soda.
I don't know. Just don't drink it 16 years of your life. You'll be fine.
Just 1 liter a day is good.
Yeah, that's it.
Scale it back. All right, so covers of Daft Punk. You know, I was going through and realizing, heck, I've got enough to do a Daft Punk cover story. So look for that sometime soon on Coverville. Mm-hmm. But for today, how about a cover by a group called Uminsky? This was released as part of a compilation called Cosmosonica in 2001, which collected a bunch of unusual, bizarre covers. And this is a cover of Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger. I'm not going to do the Kanye West thing. Mm. No, come on. No. But look for more Daft Punk covers and a cover story coming soon to a Coverville near you.
Fantastic.
And talk about Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger. This one is definitely harder.
All right. I like harder. I'll stop there. So I wanted to make one comment.
Lemon, there's a freebie.
Yeah. And by the way, he says on Twitter he's working up some hot new mashups. So watch for those.
Nice.
Going.
Good.
I do wanted to say one last thing. I don't know what it is about today, but for some reason, it was noticeable to me that you sound like you are in the room with me. Like it was as if really? Skype doesn't exist here. It's weird.
Huh.
Yeah.
All right.
Like you sound as good as a mic in the room. Really weird.
Great.
Yeah. Let's keep that up, internet gods or whoever's in charge. So here you go. It's harder, better, faster, stronger. Don't forget. Well, let's see. I got something to play here. Don't forget.
Oh, poo. That sounds hard.
All right, sure. Why not? Yeah, thanks a lot. It's harder. It's better. It's faster. It's stronger. We'll be back tomorrow. Therapy Thursday and a whole bunch more. See you then. Lock it, make it.
Your butt is going
to
be mine.
I couldn't find the clip I meant to play. So I played that one again.